All right, thank you, Brendan.
Want to say in the beginning that we're truly grateful to God for this day that we have and for the weather that we're receiving. As the sister said, we need to probably pray a little bit more for rain. But I'm reminded of a story about an area that was going through a drought. And members of the church that was close by decided, you know, we're going to have a special prayer meeting. You know, because of this, our crops are failing, you know, our livestock is suffering, you know, we need to look to God and we need to ask for His blessings. And so, anyway, they were all traveling to church. They were just walking along, and they noticed this little boy, and he was walking along and he was carrying an umbrella. And he said to one of them, when they asked him for the why the umbrella, he said, "I know God's going to hear us." And you know, that's faith. That is faith and confidence in God. And you know, no matter what happens and what occurs, our faith and our trust is in Him today. We're grateful, as we said, to be here. Glad that Brother Tim's operation is going well, the results of it, and hope that he'll continue to heal, as well as Brother Carl. We hope that they can find kind of a solution to his heart or his lungs. I'm probably going to have to include myself in that number because at some point I'm going to have my hearing tested. And so my wife always says, you know, why is it that, you know, all men just have this hearing problem? And I said, well, I'm going to blame it on Adam. So at any rate, if you see me with hearing aids on someday, don't worry. My wife's probably trying to undo what Adam did. If you have your Bible with you today, we ask that you turn with us to the book of 1 Peter, the first epistle by the Apostle Peter. And, of course, this was written by him, it says, from Babylon. And a lot of scholars believe that whenever he wrote this, that he was writing it from Rome. It was approximately 60 A.D., and there seems to be an emphasis upon the gospel, just kind of centering at this point around the city of Rome. And so Rome was kind of the hub. It was the place where the commerce was, military action was, and it was where that at last the Apostle Paul and Peter were offered in martyrdom for the cause of Christ. So in 60 AD, the Apostle wrote these epistles, and so we're going to look at a portion of the first chapter of 1 Peter, and then we'll probably go on and pick up some scripture in the second chapter. In 1 Peter, first chapter, starting with the 18th verse. And if you care to read along with us, we invite you to read this scripture with us. And he starts out, and I say starts out because the way that it flows and goes into the second chapter, a portion of the second chapter, it all fits together. "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, we're going to skip some things over in the second chapter. Not that it's not important, but I kind of feel that this goes right along with what we have been reading. Ninth verse of the second chapter. For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now our thought and our text will come from a portion of that ninth verse in the second chapter. Why God has saved us. Why God has redeemed us, and how that he redeemed us, and the price that it took to redeem us from sin. But then after salvation, there is something that God has called us unto. And that is found where that he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And that would be our thought today. Ye are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. And you've been saved not only to keep you out of hell, that's important. But I believe today that we are called to serve God. And that we're called to serve him as priests unto God. Now, someone will say, well, my idea of a priest, I don't know that I really fit into that role. I don't know that I fit into that type of calling. Or I don't feel worthy of it today. And there's none of us that really feel worthy of what God has done for us. That's the beauty and that's the power of grace today. Grace that only God can bring. But we find today that after that we're saved, there is something that he has for us to do. I kind of discovered and found out about it kind of late in life as compared to whenever that I was saved. But you know, we find today that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And not like the priesthood that God intended for the children of Israel when they were redeemed out of bondage. And whenever that they were brought up out of the land of Egypt, across the Dead Sea and into the Sinai, what we call the Sinai Peninsula today, God intended for them to be a nation of priests. And that is kind of hard to fathom. Every one of them were to be priests unto God. They had been they were redeemed, and they were the children of Abraham, fulfilling the promise that God gave unto Abraham that because of thy seed all nations shall be blessed. And so God gave the law unto them and said that if you obey my voice, he said, and keep my covenant, you will be unto me a peculiar treasure above all people, and you'll be unto me a kingdom and a calling of priests. Then we know what happened whenever that they came into the land of that God had promised them. And whenever that God brought them down to the very foot of Sinai, Moses went up to receive the law, to receive the covenant of God that he had with them. But like a lot of us today, they got impatient. and they began to wonder, what has become of this Moses? You know, are we just to camp out at this mountain just for the rest of our lives, our existence? And Moses, has he died? Or has he gone on to be with God? And so as Moses was receiving the law, not just the Ten Commandments, but he was receiving, ironically enough, the covenant by which that they would approach unto God. Now, it sounds contradictory, but God already knew what they were going to do as they waited on Moses. They got impatient. You know, they were twiddling their thumbs. Where is God? Where is Moses? And so they pressed upon Aaron, ironically enough, to make them a golden calf and to make them something that they could see. We're not content with just following after a God that is not seen. We want something that we can see. And why a calf? I'm not exactly sure. But it's kind of funny whenever that you read about when Moses rebuked them and chastised them for what they had done, he turned to Aaron, who had fashioned the calf, and said, Aaron, what were you doing? What were you thinking? And Aaron said, oh, I just gathered up all this gold and threw it in the fire. And lo and behold, this calf came out. Boy, doesn't that sound like what somebody would say in excuse? I laugh every time that I read that. But you know, God had already anticipated this. He already knew, though his original intention, and he told them that if they would obey him, he would make them a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. And so God had already anticipated that. And that's where that we find not just the Ten Commandments, but we find that God gave them the blueprint, if you will, of the tabernacle, of the priesthood that would come through the tribe of Levi. Levi, that's all that they were to do, was to wait upon God in the tabernacle, in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies. And I won't go into all the detail of how that worked together, but it was the way of approach unto God. Because you see, God is holy. We sometimes forget that. The God is holy. He is above sin. There is no contradiction with him. He is eternal. He's from everlasting unto everlasting. He has all knowledge. There's no more knowledge added to God. He knows it all. And he's also all powerful. There is nothing that he cannot do. And we find that he's also what we call omnipresent. In other words, he's everywhere. He's all over this globe. Even as people worship in the East Coast and West Coast, separated by time zones, time does not matter unto God, though he stepped into it. But we find today that God is in all places and at all times. And even at this very moment, even around the globe, there are brothers and sisters in Christ that are worshiping him, probably in darkness of night. But nevertheless, he is in all places and at all times. And even we find that as Israel sinned in the very shadow of Sinai, that mountain where that God gave the law, yet God provided a way by which that they could come unto him and by which that they could approach him today. And so it was through this that they were able for a time to come to God. And you know, God has not changed. We don't have a tabernacle up here. We don't sacrifice sheep and goats according to the statutes of God. But God made a way where that salvation could be for all mankind. Not for just a few, not for just a small remnant. But God made a way of salvation. He offered the ultimate sacrifice. Upon the cross of Calvary, we were traveling this morning and we were listening to a song, and I'd never heard a song like this before, but it was about the thief on the cross. and how that as he was hanging there, he said, "Remember me." That was the echoing courses. "Remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Have mercy upon me and remember me. I'm not worthy to go where you're going, but just, Lord, just when you're there, just remember your companion in death and the one that was hanging to the right side of you." And I find today, my friend, that Jesus died for that individual. And he said unto him, he said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." People that are saved by the grace of God, you've had that still small voice speak unto you that this day and in on into eternity, you'll be with me in paradise. And so God redeemed us with something more precious, more everlasting than silver and gold. That's why that they didn't stay with the golden calf. My friend, there was something more precious than that. More precious even than the gold of the tabernacle. God sent forth His Son in the fullness of time. Just right on time. Someone will say, why was He born when He did? It was all in the plan of God, and it works together because it was midway, perhaps, in human history. The greatest thing that ever has happened in human history is not the Magna Carta. It's not our Constitution, though we love this country. And it's not the Declaration of Independence. It's not all the things that have happened in history. The greatest two things that ever happened in the history of mankind was when Jesus gave Himself as a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. And He overcame death, hell, and the grave, and came forth triumphant to justify us by faith unto God. Amen. I started to say hallelujah. But I want to tell you, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ Jesus. Woe unto me if I do not lift up the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that He's high priest unto the sinner. He's high priest unto us. He makes intercession for us. And my friend, we come unto God through Him, through His blood, Hebrews tells us. My friend, if the blood is ever taken out of some of the churches, if the churches stop preaching the atoning death of Christ, then you don't have a church, you don't have gospel, you don't have any means of helping and saving mankind. You might have a social gospel. You might be able to go out into the world and do all these great things, and that's fine and dandy. But the foundation of it all is the fact that Christ died for sinners, Paul said, such as I. And my friend, He abides a high priest forever. You might say today, well, preacher, how do you know this? You know, you speak all these lofty things to us about the old covenant, about this and that and the other, because my friend, I met the high priest in my experience of salvation, and not even knowing anything about the Bible, He came to me. My friend, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to be saved. Did you know that? My friend, it's good to know the Bible. It's good to know the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that speak of me. And I want you to know, my friend, all it takes is a repentant heart and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's faith that justifies us before God. But after that we're saved, I want you to know we've got a holy calling. Because we've experienced coming unto that high priest, Christ Jesus. We came through His blood. And do you know we came through another veil? Not the veil that was split in two in Jerusalem. That's been done away. Now I want you to know that the barrier that was even between male and female in the temple, that was done away. And everyone comes on the same level before God. There's no preferences. There's no butting in line or, you know, I've done this, I've done that. But I want you to know that all can come unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ, not only His blood, but through another veil. That is the veil of His flesh. My friend, it took the shedding of blood. And it also took, my friend, His death. And Him saying, "It is finished." Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, I tell you, I will glory, Paul said, in nothing else but the cross of Christ Jesus. And oh, the day that I can stand in a pulpit and people not see Paul Cofer, but they see the Christ, they see the Redeemer, they see the one that died upon the cross of Calvary, they see him resurrected, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. We are now a royal priesthood. Not after the order of Melchizedek, Christ already occupies that. I like these ones that say, well, I'm not really sure, according to history, that he is truly, you know, a high priest, because he wasn't born of the tribe of Aaron. No, he wasn't. I want you to know he was born after the order of Melchizedek. Amen? He was born after one that had no beginning of days nor end of life. Priests in the Aaronic dispensation, they came, they went, they came, they went, they came, they died. But Christ abides forever. After the very legend or the very means by which the Melchizedek ministered, now that has that benefit from that has fallen to us. We're a royal priesthood. Did you know that today? You are. You know, sometimes I've preached and I've said, you're saints of God. And people will say, wait a minute. I'm not a saint. Nobody's ordered me in and voted on me to be a saint. I'm not talking about that kind of saint. I'm talking about the biblical saint. I'm talking about the saint in the sight of God. What God deems as a saint. What God deems as a priest. And you know, the offerings that we bring unto God, they may not be as magnificent as the offering of Christ Jesus, but there are some things that we can do and that God looks to us to do. First of all, there is that offering of praise, the sacrifice of praise. The Bible tells us in one place, it says that we are to give honor and praise and glory. And, you know, my father, two things that used to kind of bug me when I rode with him. First of all, he chewed Wrigley's gum like it was going out of style. And oh my goodness, it filled the car with spearmint. You know, I used to, one time I said, Dad, why are you chewing the gum so much? He said, this has helped me to stop smoking. And then he would hum. He would hum hymns. Sometimes he would hum them. I had no idea what he was saying or what he was singing. But you know, that is how that our heart is to be before Almighty God. We're to offer praise unto Him, a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice from our lips, a sacrifice from our heart, offered up unto God. It's like a sweet-smelling incense in the nostrils of God. And then we offer up unto Him our prayers. Do you know prayer is one of the most, if not the most important thing? But not just a prayer about, gee, I hope my SUV starts. That's one thing. But prayers of intercession on behalf of those that are in need. I love it whenever that we have prayer requests. I may not remember all of them, but you know, from time to time, God brings them before me. And I get on my knees and I say, Brother so-and-so needs you, dear God. Sister so-and-so needs you, dear God. And that's interceding on behalf of somebody that may not be able to intercede for themselves. You know, Christ makes intercession for us continually. And we make intercession for one another. Do you know why? Because Christ has given unto us as children of God a new commandment. In the 13th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, Jesus, as he sat with them in the Last Supper and also after that he washed his feet, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Thanks be unto God you do, because I've seen it, I've felt it, I've witnessed it. And my friend, you keep on loving one another no matter what may happen, no matter what may befall or what may occur. You love one another with a love that is fervent. And he said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase some things there. That you're my disciples and that you're my priest and that you are of my order if you have love towards one another. I love every one of you. And I try not to be biased in that. But I truly love each and every one of you. And you know, in prayer, there's a prayer of sympathy towards each other today as priests of God. Yeah. You know, it can really get down to where that you can feel the need and you can feel what that individual is going through. The Bible says over in the book of the Galatian letter, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. What is that law? What we just quoted to you. Love one another as I have loved you and I have given myself for you. And you know, even taking time out in prayer, taking time out in praises might seem like a sacrifice. And this day and time, it does. It does seem like a sacrifice. But that's why he calls it, why Paul calls it the sacrifice of praise. And we are to sympathize with one another. You know, I used to be, I was so smug, and this was like at the age of 16 through 18 and 19. Oh, by golly, you know, I can bench press 250 pounds. I'm really something. And, you know, I'd walk up to my dad and I'd kind of nudge him like that until one day I found out why that he was division boxing champ and wrestling champ. And then I wasn't so hot after all. But then I would carry that so far that when something would happen to somebody, I wonder what they did to deserve that. They did something to deserve that. Oh, God's, and, you know, I'm glad I'm not them. I'm glad I didn't do what they did. But oh, I want to tell you, God can change your attitude towards. Now, I'm just speaking for myself. You get down to the place where that you sympathize with that individual. You feel what they're feeling. You pray for them. You ask God, oh Lord, I'm not coming to you today to ask anything for myself. I'm coming to you today to bless Brother John or to bless Sister so-and-so because they've got cancer. And I can't imagine, you know, the full extent of what they're feeling. But oh, to have a disease inside of me, oh Lord, what would I do? I know what I can do now. I can pray for them. I can comfort them. I can reassure them. No, I may not be able to heal them. But I want to tell you, healing the human spirit is a miracle in itself. Amen? Whenever that we can do something to heal the human spirit, oh, it brings a blessing to us, and it's also a blessing unto them. And will go a long way in the problems that they're having. But not only do we do these things as a royal priesthood, we also, most importantly of all, proclaim the gospel unto a lost and dying world. Well, now, I'm not called to preach, someone might say, and I don't know what I could say or what I could do. And sometimes it's not in the doing. It's not in the preaching. It is in the life that is lived before them. When people see that you're different, when people see that you've got something about you that is so different than what the world is, curiosity will overtake them. I discovered this even in pharmacy school. Whenever that I would work with different ones, someone would ask me, said, well, we know you're a little bit on the honorary side, but yet there's something about you that is different. And you know, that comes down to having an opportunity to talk to them about the reason why that I'm different and the reason why that I can say that I'm ready and I'm prepared to meet God. We had the opportunity of that happening to us with a Jewish pharmacist that worked with us. And she was very intelligent. You know, she graduated top of her class in Brooklyn School of Pharmacy in 1962, whenever that they didn't allow, and this is what they did back then, but they didn't allow very many women into pharmacy school. But boy, she topped them all. And you know, we'd get to talking, we get to visiting, and I'd ask her questions about her faith. And then she would get to asking me questions about my faith. And it coincided with a special that they were running about Jesus of Nazareth. And one day she came in and she said, "I want to talk to you." She said, "I've been watching this special on TV." And she said, "I just want to get your take on it." And she said, "I've been watching this show, Jesus of Nazareth, and all that happened to him and everything." And she said, "You know, our faith does not believe in him. We do not acknowledge him as a rule, as the Messiah that was to be sent." And so we discussed it. And pretty soon Judy asked me, said, "What do you think of it?" And I said, "Judy, it's not what I think of it. What do you think of it? What does it speak to you? What does it tell you? Was there anything that they depicted in there that would lead you to believe that he's not the Messiah, or that he's not the chosen one, or the sacrifice needed?" And she stopped. And I don't know how much further that it went, but she stopped. And she said, "You know something? He may very well have been our Messiah." And I said, "Judy, I go so far as to say, is your Messiah today. And I hope and pray that that little bitty seed that I planted there might one day appear before me in glory." She's passed away, but she's heard the gospel. But we're to share it with people. We're to let them know by the lives that we lead, and by the types of things that we do, and by the type of life that we live before them. And you know, they'll ask you, "Where do you go to church?" "Well, I go to church over here at Elkton Baptist Church." "Oh yeah, I've heard they got a loudmouth preacher over there." But more importantly, we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We preach him crucified. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, he said, "Crucified and offered and died according to the scriptures, raised incorruptible according to the scriptures." That's what we believe. That's what we preach. And I want you to know today, my friend, he can save anyone. It doesn't matter what kind of background that they come from. It doesn't matter today what kind of views that they have or what their status is. He can save them. So as we close our few remarks today, every one of you are a royal priest, chosen of God. Every one of you are chosen of God to offer up sacrifices unto God, singing with praise unto God, interceding in prayer unto God on behalf of other people, the lost included, and then to live before him. Oh yeah, one more thing somebody might throw at you. I'll close. Might say, "Well, you know something? The priest always wore these perfect, like white garments and so on and so forth. It symbolized their purity. Are you pure?" Yes. Through a blood-washed garment that God has given to each and every one of us, we are, and we are counted worthy to come before the great God of heaven and to bow and to offer up our praise, our offerings of prayer, and our lives unto him. God bless you is my prayer. We might have a song. And I love every one of you. Every one of you. I don't understand. We're not related. You know, we might run a lineage back and find out, no, we're not related. And we're not part of the same family tree. But I beg to differ. We are related through a tree. The blood of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are priests unto God. Oh, bless your hearts today. God be with each and every one of you. Throughout this week, live for Him and give all that you can unto Him today in service.